Okay, we're here.
All right.
I'm okay. Here.
Can we just do a quick reminder? Try not to talk over everyone.
Yeah, it's the tough part.
Yeah,
is,
definitely
though,
don't do that.
You can't see when everyone else is like talking or they're done talking, or you can't see someone's face to see, oh, they have something to add here.
Yeah, just like, I know it's not going to be perfect, but just be reasonable. It'll be fine.
Yeah, you just got to feel it out. It just takes practice.
Yeah. Okay, should we start? I've been practicing my intro.
How long have you been practicing your intro? Like, all week?
For I don't know, when I was driving home.
Ooh. I'm really curious to hear her practice intro.
With that Columbus Day traffic?
I had no traffic, dude. It was amazing.
Dude, it's Columbus Day.
Okay. So, I guess we can start. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of Powerful, a power metal podcast. Today, we're going to talk about some news in the power metal universe, and we're also going to review some of the current recent releases in power metal, and we're going to talk about some singles for some albums upcoming in 2017. So, this is Four Gates speaking, and I'm here with my friends. Come on, introduce yourselves.
We didn't decide on who was going to go first or what order.
Damn it, guys. It doesn't matter.
That was really good, though. That was really good.
I'll go first or second. I am the great Larry Biscuit.
Woo!
Welcome.
And I like power metal.
Yay!
Hi, guys. I wasn't on the first one, but I'm here now, and that's all that matters.
Yay! Next.
And we're glad to have you. And I am ZeldaFan355, or Zef for short. I was here last time, and happy to be back and talk about some power metal.
Hello, I'm Darko. I was here last time, and I didn't talk a lot, but now I'll try to talk a bit more while I try to make all the audio work.
And we are thankful for your audio wizardry in recording this podcast.
As duly noted by the wizard icon.
That's a secret, though. Don't tell the audience that. Come on. I hate to think we're all professionals.
We're so professional. Okay, so first up in our
Wait!
Whoa! Did we skip
Oil?
My bad,
dirty right there. You just did him.
Man, you
don't
have to cut out my laughs, or I'm like,
go for it.
I am Coil. I was not here last time. I am the creator of this. I thought about it first.
Coil,
thank you.
Just joking aside, but I did have the moments and to try to get it going at least.
Yeah. Thanks. You are clearly very valued in our podcast endeavors.
Obviously. We will not cut that out.
We will not cut that one out. Okay, so moving on to our first news item is we have a Facebook page. Yeah, find us on Facebook. We are Powerful PM Podcast. And leave us a comment. And we would love to hear from our 12 listeners.
We are at Powerful Podcast. You can find us by typing that in. Or Powerful, yeah, at Powerful Podcast.
And you can listen to us on SoundCloud and YouTube. And we'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think, if we missed anything, and if you just liked the podcast. Or if you didn't, but be nice. We're very sensitive.
Tell us that we're idiots if you want. We can handle it.
If we don't have at least 5 people telling us all of our opinions are wrong, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, please. Please tell us how wrong we are.
Of our 20 subscribers?
Exactly. Do we have 20 now? Wow, that's a lot.
We're at 19
so
on
many.
YouTube and like 2 on SoundCloud.
My God, incredible. I can't believe it. Speaking of things that are wrong, Polish symphonic power metal band Pathfinder is striking back.
And it brings a terrible pain in my heart to hear how bad this is.
What did you all think about the music video?
I thought it was hilarious.
What the hell is that guy's name?
Primal Alley.
That's his actual name. His actual name
No, that's a stage name. Yeah, it's not his real name. It's his stage name.
Are you sure?
Because his Polish name is too hard to pronounce.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's the reason why they gave that for all the English people. Or the English-speaking people, I should say.
Yeah, so for those of you who are not in the know about Pathfinder, they are our absolute favorite Polish symphonic power metal band, and they've come out with a brand new music video for a song that they recorded back in 2012 with a new vocalist.
Those long-awaited days, the $5,000 USD-ish through the Indiegogo fundraising campaign that they had done after they got the new vocalist.
Not only that, they've announced a new song. And guess what that song title is?
Spoilers. Someone said it already.
That I did not hear.
The song is titled Pathfinder is Striking Back.
How that's the actual name of the song, not just like a headline?
No, sure. that's the name of the song.
That's not even the album name?
No, that's the name of the song.
That should be the album name, I think.
With the song title like that, who knows what the album will be called? This is gonna be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, at least it's probably not like Titanium, one of the most hardest albums to search for on the internet.
Yes.
By another Polish band.
Oh, I love Polish bands.
Next news topic, we're going to talk about the Prog Power Music Festival in Atlanta 2018. On Saturday, the 7th, tickets went on sale at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And by 2 a.m., they were down to 50 tickets. 2 a.m. the following day, they're down to like 50. It's been two whole days, and now it is sold out. Apparently, the second fastest it's ever sold out in history.
Second fastest? When was the first fastest?
They didn't say, but that's 800 general admission tickets in just over 48 hours.
Weren't there 900?
There's 800 general admission and 900 VIP, according
to
like Ben.
100 VIP. It's like 900 total.
Yeah, it's 900 total, for sure.
It's not like a huge festival then with only 900 people, but I mean, they still sold out pretty fast, especially for a power metal thing in the United States.
Just because it's the only power metal thing in the United States.
Exactly. Plus, it seems, that's do true. They always choose Atlanta? They probably have some building restrictions to the venue that they're using, too.
I think it is always in Atlanta, yeah.
It's always going to be in Center Stage, and the venue is not that big.
I think that's part of the idea, though. They don't
want
to
keep
be
it
that
small.
Big.
Yeah, the guy really likes the intimate feel.
So it's a pretty big deal that Prog Power is on sale, or is sold out already. A bunch of the people on our subreddit and even in this very podcast made sure to get on there and get tickets. I'm going to be there. Anyone else here is going to be there?
I think
we're all going to be there.
I think we're all going to be there.
Except for me. I did not get tickets in time.
Stupid. Come on.
Damn it.
But don't worry. I will still house Darko if he wants to. I may even drive up to at least see you guys. It's only an 8-hour drive. I have a friend over there I've not seen in quite a while, so it's not lose-lose.
Are you going to try and pick up tickets like some people on the subreddit have said they were going to?
If that's possible, yeah, because right now I don't have the funds for it. So if there are tickets available afterwards, if anyone will let me know, or I'll keep on checking beforehand and see.
Just check the forum. I'm pretty sure people will be
sure.
Like, yeah.
The
yeah,
ultimate
I'm sure
metal
forum have to bail out.
Apparently is good for it.
Yeah, it's good.
I'll post a link. We'll post a link for that.
In the show notes.
In the show notes, yeah.
Yeah, so keep an eye on that. And I know there are some other people posting on the subreddit who aren't in this podcast or on our Discord channel saying, oh yeah, I got tickets. I'm going to be there too. This is going to be totally awesome. This is going to be like the biggest event our tiny, tiny little community has ever had. And I think it's going to be really cool.
What are you talking about? Our community is massive. There's like dozens of us.
We're almost at 12,500.
Dozens
of us.
I think we've got like 20, 25 people confirmed as going.
Oh my
already.
God.
That's a lot. Wow.
That's the majority.
Know if talk to y'all.
Well, I mean, you're not going to have to see all of them.
Okay, good.
We're going to have like some official power metal meetup thing, or some official R power metal meetup thing that is yet to be determined. You heard it here first on the podcast.
On the podcast.
Only the hottest news here.
And then days 1 and 2, I'll go on sale November 11th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And they are $165 before Ticketmaster fees and whatever taxes may or may not apply. So it's like $180, $185 total.
I just want to put on a side note on that too, because for me in Florida, there is another thing that I can go to, but just checking 70 tons of metal is sold out too. Wow. And that one actually does sell out quite early too. That one's in February of the next year. And it looks like there's a couple of good bands that are in there too.
How much is that? Because it's a cruise.
It depends on the room.
I think it's like 800 or something.
Usually it's about around there for a room.
And how is that for the whole, that's for the whole thing? Because it's yes. a cruise. That's a dumb question. What is it, like 3 days, 4 days?
3 days. The first to the fifth.
Okay. That's not bad.
No, definitely not.
That's probably like this, that's the same like per band probably as Prog Power.
Including lodging and stuff.
And yeah, plus food and lodging.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the announcements. Those are some pretty cool events. If anyone is in the area or wants to travel to see some great music, then there they are. So next in our news is the singer of Twilight Force.
Oh, this is a juicy one.
Has been exiled.
Because this is power metal singer drama.
Yeah. Can anyone tell us about the whole exile process?
Yeah, I'll jump in there. So last weekend, we had a news post on the Twilight Force Facebook page. It was this very elaborate and cheese-filled
and fantastical
post.
In character.
They post everything in character, so it's... I don't want to read the whole thing here because it's very long and full of fantasy things. But it's basically, they said something like, oh, our singer Chilreon, he fell to the dark forces. He's not our chosen hero, you know, all the fun stuff like that. But a lot of people started getting a little antsy about it because it sounded like it was like a lot of bad blood between them.
It sounded like he was exiled and banished to the Shadow Realm.
Exactly. Normally these posts are like, oh, you know, we want to pursue different projects, we wish him the best, blah, 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 blah. But this was like, oh, he had no musical contributions, he fell to the dark forces of whatever, and it felt a little more than just...
the corporate world.
Yeah, it felt more than just being in character silliness. So they put a clarifying post up later saying, oh no, it's not a huge deal, we're gonna drop our act for a little bit, say, oh, it's not a big thing. And that seemed to be the end of it, until the next day. Oh, this is where it gets juicy. I love this so much. Where his name is Christian, right? Christian,
yes.
Erickson.
Yeah.
He posts on his personal Facebook page saying that he just found out by getting a text message saying, oh, by the way, you're out of the band. And that was it.
No, text so message like, breakup.
Yo, that's not cool. That's like what Nightwish did to Taria, just like, oh, by the way, you're gone.
Yeah, in like fantastical terms.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
So he's in a tough spot, but he's looking for new projects, and he's a great singer. I wish him all the best.
He's actually a fantastic singer. Have you guys heard his cover of Iron Maiden?
Yeah, his Run to the Hills on The Voice is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But also on the bright side, in Touring with Sabaton, we have Tommy Rainseed, who is now going to be the vocalist for the touring part of the tour. It says redundant.
Cool.
Right. Tommy Rainseed is taking over as a singer for their upcoming tour. They made a very specific point that he's not taking over as a new actual vocalist. I assume Tommy's going to be too busy to playing guitars for Sabaton and doing all that fun stuff.
The one thing that they didn't mention, because if I remember correctly, Twilight Force will be touring with Sabaton for their European tour, but the United States tour is next, right?
Yes. And they're touring with
Sabaton?
No. Twilight Force said that they are going to... I think the European tour is already over, so they're done with Sabaton for now, and they're bringing Tommy on with them to tour with Dragon Force in the States or do limited collab or something like that.
That's cool. Let's see where Twilight Force goes from there. Maybe they'll like try to be nicer to their singers. I don't know. Singing for a band is a tough job.
This will also be in the description, so check it out.
Yeah. All right. So thanks for the news, everyone. I think let's just ask a quick general discussion question just to get to know all of us a little bit better. So how did you all get into power metal?
Yeah, this is a topic that seems to always get a lot of attention whenever it comes up on our lovely subreddit. for me, I got into power metal, I think, a pretty common way, in that it was basically Dragon Forces Through the Fire and Flames being on Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah.
This is a tale as old as time right here. Basically, seriously? I was playing Guitar Hero because what 12-year-old wasn't back in the day then? And then Dragon Force comes on, and I'm like, oh my god, this is everything I've ever looked for in music.
This is everything I've ever dreamed of.
It really was, no joke. Like, it's cool and fast and epic, and it's so awesome. I'm like, oh my fucking god, I love this.
I like to show off and say that I found Dragon Force before it was out on Guitar Hero, and then when it came out on Guitar Hero, I was like, oh my god, Dragon Force is here, and that was, like, equally as exciting.
You're so cool.
I'm so cool.
Oh my god.
Cool.
Oh my god. Power metal hipster.
You knew power metal before it was cool.
Before it was cool.
Implying power metal's cool.
Of course.
It's the coolest. So
it's the coolest.
After I listened to, like, nothing but Dragon Force for, like, a year after that because I was cool. And then
you are cool.
I went on Wikipedia and saw, like, oh, they're listed as power metal. I wonder what that is. I should find more of this on YouTube. And now here we are.
There's other power metal bands.
There's other than Dragon bands Force? Like this. Oh my god!
Incredible.
I was not smart when I was like 13. You know what? Get off.
Okay.
Me.
Well, since you said you already knew Dragon Force in 2008 or whatever, how did you discover power metal?
Are you calling me out?
We're calling you out.
I don't know, man. My friend just sent me the Valley of the Damned album in about 2006. I know it's a little late because that thing came out in 2003, I think. But yeah, that was my first power metal album, Valley of the Damned.
So it still was Dragon Force for you, just
It still was Dragon Force. It was just different Dragon Force.
Was it life changing?
It was absolutely life changing.
Did it 100%?
Yeah,
100%,
I
alter the
course of
your life.
I wanted to march into battle with my sword upon my steed of glory. Anyway, does anyone else want to contribute to how you all got into power metal?
Sure. Before all that, I think I was more into metal and J-pop and Eurobeat. And one of my friends had a CD. One of my best friends were driving his car, and I think it was it was Rhapsody, and it was Victory, and I think that was one of the first ones. I'm trying to remember if that was one of the first ones I heard. I think it was. It might have been Dragon Force later on. But I think the one that actually turned me on was the Metal Opera. I think that was the first one I heard from Avantasia.
Avantasia,
oh, nice.
One or
nice.
Two.
That's the one. That's like the first one. I think it was actually two. I think it was the second one. Because I can still remember that. As I remember listening to it in my crappy job. In my car sitting in the parking lot. I can definitely remember that, but I can't remember if it was Dragon Force somewhere between that. But I definitely think it was Rhapsody was first. But that wasn't like I totally liked it and everything like that. It was just I remember hearing that.
Awesome.
Okay.
So Rhapsody, Dragon Force, and Avantasia. I don't think I hear most people get into that initially.
Cool. How about you, Darko?
I have a different story.
Different story?
I juicy. Knew Dragon Force before Guitar Hero as well.
Like yes. Before. You are also cool.
Yeah, but it was a weird thing. I'm telling this because I think it's a cool story. Like, I started learning guitar in 2006. And I had this massive library of guitar tabs and MIDIs downloaded just to learn. And one of the files was called Dragon Force, the Valley of the Damned demo version.
Yes.
And that name was, like, awesome. And I tried to learn that as a beginner guitarist.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah. That sounds really, really tough.
And I was just listening to a MIDI file. It was in a folder of unsorted files, so I didn't even think it was, like, a real band or anything. I just liked the sound of the MIDI, like video game music. And I probably listened to that for like a year. Only that MIDI file. Easily generating instruments. And then, like, someday later, I figured I should search for it. And it turned out to be an actual band. And I listened to the actual record, and it was great. And then my friends came with Guitar Hero like a month later. And I know this band, but I didn't know they had other albums besides Valley of the Dam. So that was nice.
It's the only album you need.
But I can say that I had listened to power metal before, because just so everyone knows, I am from Argentina, not from the US like the rest of most of the people here. And I actually listened to Rata Blanca, which translates to White Rat. Great name,
White
I know.
Rat.
And for all my life, they are really very popular here, and have a couple of what I later classified as power metal songs, which you can find posted on the sub by me and some other people. And I also listen to a lot of J-pop and J-rock, and some power metal came from there, from Japan. So overall, I think I always knew what power metal was, just never listened to it that consciously.
Awesome.
Well, I had a little bit of a different coming to power metal than all you guys. So, Guitar Hero came out, I was playing it. Dragon Force just didn't really click with me, though. I wasn't really a fan of Through the Fire and the Flames. I come from a more, classic, 80s heavy metal, fucking glam rock, Metallica, Def Leppard, Iron Maiden,
yes.
Scorpions, a bunch of the classic bands, because that's what my parents listened to growing up. So I didn't really get into power metal until maybe my junior year of high school, so that would have been 2010, 2011. And my buddy, we were at his house, and he showed me a little band called Power Quest. I think the very first Power Quest song that I listened to was either I Don't Believe in Friends Forever, Master of Illusion, or Cemetery Gates. I don't remember the exact song, but it was off Master of Illusion. And then Master of Illusion by Power Quest became like my shit. I listened to that all the time. I didn't really get super into power metal until 2 years later. Started lurking on the subreddit. Got really into Avantasia, and now I'm here.
Yay. Well, we're glad to have you here, and we're glad to have people who didn't get in through Dragon Force.
Interestingly, it sounds like almost all of us had Dragon Force in there in some level.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to the 80s stuff, and even before then, I liked Deep Purple, but I didn't know that power metal was a thing until, I don't know, my friend decided to just send me this, crazy album. Anyway, so surprisingly, since beyond the Dragon Force albums, there are other power metal albums, and a lot actually came out in September 2017, and that's what we're gonna talk about next. So we'll just review some of the releases within the past month. Did anyone listen to Manila Road's To Kill a King?
I listened to it a little bit. A little bit too. I was not really, it sounded, very 80s, but I wasn't really a fan of it.
Yeah, so Manila Road is another well-known US American power metal band. And just right off the bat, listening to this new album, To Kill a King, the album is pretty doomy overall. And by that, I mean slower tempo, downtuned guitars, and it has a really heavy sound. And it starts off with a freaking 10-minute title track. That's always a bit alarming. And the pace was honestly a bit lumbering for me, but nonetheless, it had really cool bass lines and guitar melodies. And there weren't that many different riffs throughout the whole 10 minutes. That's why it felt kind of slow to me. And the vocals are pretty melancholy sounding and almost whispered, hence the doomy kind of vibe. But it's not all slow songs. I mean, it picks up. The Arena is a fast track. They also attempt some harsh vocals, which I'm not too sure about. And there's a lot of awesome guitar solos, and a lot of crunchity crunch sounds, which the band seems to love to do in this album. So yeah, this is a good album if you're a fan of, like, I don't know, 70s style heavy metal. But probably European power metal fans wouldn't like it that much because the vocals aren't the focal point. So that's my review of Manila Roads to Kill a King. So another album that recently came out, more on the European power metal style, is Numenor. Do one of you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, Numenor, Chronicles from the Realms Beyond. So Numenor is this, like, smallish band on Stormspell Records. I don't think they release anything except on Bandcamp. Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
I've only ever seen them on Bandcamp, yeah.
Yeah, I know they're not on Spotify, and I don't think I've even seen them, like, officially on YouTube. But anyway, Numenor, they're this, like, they're, like, European power metal X, like, black metal. It's like, a weird combo that really works.
Yeah, because they throw in a lot of the harsh vocals at times there, too.
Yeah, they do a lot of accentuating harsh vocals. It's never, like, the focus of the song, but it's always there at some point, maybe during, like, a refrain or something, to really, yeah, like, nice drive it in. I really like when harsh vocals are used to accentuate the cleans. I think that's when harsh vocals really shine the most.
Yeah, definitely.
In my opinion, the first two tracks are the best two tracks, but that's because I'm a super, like, chorusy, uplifting, catchy kind of guy.
Yay!
The first song, Heart of Steel, it's real upbeat. I think it's really got a sweet melody. It's nice and fast. It's got the accentuating harsh vocals that all the songs have. It even has a, you know, one of those whoas in it, you know, right in the middle. But it is also...
That was beautiful.
It is also, like, the most generic power metal song on the album. And then the next track, Carven Stone, feels kind of like it continues the general themes of it, but it's a little bit lower, kind of transitions into the harsher rest of the album. I think it also does have the best chorus on the album. Also has less harsh vocals, though. It just kind of is lower in tone, and it's got a nice quick solo at the end.
Yeah, I felt like the first two songs had more clean ones, and as I got to the next two tracks, 3 and 4, they started having more harsh, and then it went back to clean and harsh, and I got through about half the album before, and I said, yeah, that's pretty good. I'll have to listen to the whole thing when I have a chance.
And then there's, like, an instrumental track, I think, track 6, I think, is instrumental, which I felt was kind of weird. It didn't really fit. And then they also covered Valhalla by Blind Guardian for track 8.
Ooh. Ah, yes, I remember that one. That was actually pretty good.
Valhalla.
I didn't know they covered that. Oh.
I don't like Valhalla personally, but, you know, to each their own.
You monster.
They did, whether you like it or not, I thought they did a good job on it.
Yeah, no, it was a good cover. I just don't like the song. So I'm probably not the best person to ask about it.
You are, like, the only person in the known universe.
Well, you probably saw it live, and he had to wait 30 minutes for him to actually finish it.
Exactly. My very first time hearing Valhalla, it was the first time I saw Blind Guardian live, and it went on way too long, and I was not 21 yet, so I couldn't be drunk.
Oh, no. How sad. But fun.
I mean, I wasn't drunk when I saw it, and I was, like, losing my voice. I still sang it for 20 minutes. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, at least you'll know all the words. It's all the same.
I sang everything else and lost my voice. I went in with no voice and came out with less of a voice, which was fun.
Nice.
Impressive.
Cool. So is that all for Numenor, Chronicles from the Realm Beyond?
Looks like it. All right, next, Nocturnal Rites, Phoenix. I think I'm the only one that listened to it.
Listened to some of it, too.
Go for it. Take it away.
I don't remember much about it. So I think that kind of...
Ooh, that's not a good
that
kind
of tells you about the album.
Or Nocturnal Rites.
Well, I think it was forgettable from whatever it is. I can't remember much about it, but I remember Nocturnal Rites and a lot of their stuff to me, from what I remember, was good. So I did like the band, but it's not something I'll have on my playlist, you know, all the time. But I certainly thought what I heard of it was actually pretty good. I liked it. But it's something that wasn't, you know, obviously rememberable.
Well, sounds like a mediocre album. Big fans of Nocturnal Rites could probably check it out. All right, so our next album that we're going to talk about is a big one, Galnerius Ultimate Sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
I just listened to this album literally right before we started recording this podcast. So it's a bit fresher for me.
Nice.
So I'll jump in here first.
What were your favorite songs? Start off with that.
My favorite songs, looking at the list on Spotify, I really liked I think it was Wings of Justice, The Shadow Within, With Sympathy. Those are tracks 3, 4, and 5. I thought it really hit its stride there in the middle of the album. Galnerius is a pretty consistent band overall. And yeah. I haven't been as into their last couple albums, but I thought this one really brought it back. Yeah, I'd say it's almost up there with Angel of Salvation or Resurrection.
I definitely liked Shadow Within and With Sympathy the most. I thought Shadow Within had like a really nice, like, commanding chorus. Definitely yeah. fit the power part of power metal, in
like
my opinion.
I like that word, commanding.
And then I thought With Sympathy was the best song on the album. And then Wherever You Are felt like it totally could have been like an anime song.
I didn't like it, Wherever You Are, at all. It totally killed, like, I was so into the album, and then that one comes on, I'm just like, eh.
It's like yeah. 100% like an anime opener or closer.
It yeah. felt like a pop song for something like that, yeah, like a J-pop thing.
Well, it's entirely, it comes up, that comes up in Galnerius a lot across the albums.
You know, they have done.
They've done anime stuff, yeah.
Yeah, they've yeah. had three openings. If you don't count Sho as being one of, you know, it's self-titled for some reason.
They have the Hokuto no Ken song.
That one I don't remember. I remember there's one for
a movie.
Some weird anime. I can't remember. There's two for Hunter x Hunter. One was just titled under show's name instead of Galanero's. And then there's the Hunting for Your Dream, which was Hunter x Hunter's ending for a while.
Is that how, like, how you know you've made it as a Japanese band? You're doing anime themes?
No. It's something you do. You just do it.
It's something you do to pay the bills.
You don't need to be big or small to do anime songs.
To put food on the dinner table.
Yeah, some bands actually start out really bad. You know, I'd say really low, and when they get that anime opening, that's when they become really big.
Zeph, there's a lot of anime, and a lot of it needs music.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think I fully comprehend the volume of anime that exists.
Oh, you don't want to know? It's a deep, dark world out there.
I don't.
Yeah, so that is your review of Galnerius, The Ultimate Sacrifice. Generally pretty positive, right?
Yeah, overall, it's pretty good. It's definitely worth checking out.
Awesome.
11 out of 10, would buy again.
11 out of 10, yeah, okay.
I wouldn't say an 11 out of 10.
No, it's not 11 out of 10. I think it's a good album. It's a consistent Galnerius album, but it's not like the second coming of power metal or anything. It's just a great Galnerius.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see how the live album, if they make one for this one, will come out. Because there a lot of their live albums are pretty fucking good too.
Yeah, like their live show for Angel of Salvation with like the whole like orchestra and whatever behind them is just incredible to watch.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorite recordings.
Yeah, definitely.
Super cool. So speaking of the second coming of power metal, Jagdpanzer, the Deviant Chord. So Jagdpanzer is another like one of the most well-known US power metal bands, and a release by them is going to get a lot of attention to see if it lives up to Ample Destruction, which I bet are part of a lot of people's top album lists.
Never listened to
and
it.
Wait, what?
I've never listened to Jagdpanzer. Is it Jag or Jag?
I have not either.
I have no idea. Sorry, they're like a fail American.
They're from like Florida, right?
Oh, then I like them already.
I've always mentally pronounced it Jagdpanzer.
Are they? Do they take a lot of influence from any German metal? That wouldn't answer that question.
You should check out Ample Destruction first. It's really melodic. There's a lot of like guitar riffs, and it's really vocal driven. I think like a European power metal fan would enjoy it, even though it falls under USPM.
They're from Colorado Springs.
I guess Coyle likes it less now because they're not from Florida.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
But for real though, Ample Destruction is absolutely worth listening to. But this 2017 album was not bad also. I would say it's like a 3.5 out of 5, depending on what scale you use. It also has like a epic long title track. It starts off with like a music box intro, which I hate. I hate music box intros. And what I liked about the album is that it has a lot of awesome guitar riffs, but the vocal style just varies so much throughout the album. There's some like really soft lullaby like singing, and then like the kind of gruff power metal vocals, and also like the high wails that you guys all fucking love. But and The title track, The Deviant Chord, also has like a doomy, slow kind of tempo. But there's also like fast melodic guitars over like the crunchy, slower backing guitar chords. And there's also some like really weird folk song slash ballads in the middle. And I found it weird that there was two ballads. Yeah. Overall, it's a good album to listen to. It's not that long. So yeah, just listen to it. 3.5 out of 5 for me.
We're doing ratings?
I don't know. No, it's just me. I literally just thought of it right now because you guys were calling Galnerius 11 out of 10.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll try to abstain ourselves from using any rating system, I think.
Fine.
Give it a recommendation.
Just give it a recommendation. A thumbs up, a like sideways thumbs up.
I give it 3 Kais out of 4.
Yeah. So are there any other albums that we want to talk about? Any other full releases? What is this?
I think that was
Power Quest?
That's a single.
No, yeah. That's a single.
Yeah.
All
it's
right.
A music, yeah, single music video.
Cool. So now that we're all done talking about our albums, let's get into our singles.
The first single, yes. we have Sixth Dimension by Power Quest on their forthcoming Lords of Tomorrow album, which comes out at the end of October.
Wait, you got that backwards.
I've got that backwards. Yeah, the single is Lords of Tomorrow, I apologize, by Power Quest on the forthcoming Sixth Dimension album, which comes out on the 11th of October.
Cool. Is that single out yet? Not yet.
Yeah, they had a music video for it last week.
Oh, did you all get to listen to it?
I did. I did not like it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I don't like the singer, the new singer for Power Quest.
Yeah,
I think
no, I did not like the singer either.
I think he's too low. He's far too low for Power Quest. Like,
his voice is just no.
Power Quest is like super uplifting and like, you know, like classic high pitched EUPM. And he was just so like low and like not high. It was weird.
Low and not high. Amazing.
It just didn't really fit.
He didn't have the power, not that we're looking for there.
Well, I definitely think it's better than, if I remember, Blood Alliance had Firewind Singer on it.
Was it the same
singer?
I'd
have to double check that. But I definitely think he's better than the last person that was on the last album. But yeah, Blood Alliance didn't have the right, it's the weird thing, Blood Alliance didn't have the right feel for the songs. And now we have a singer that doesn't have the right feel for the proper songs now. So I think the songs are done well and in Power Quest's style, but now we have a singer that doesn't do it like Alessio did.
Question, is this the same singer that was on the single that we got in like February?
Yes.
He sounds a lot different in this new song. So maybe it's just the writing.
Yeah, I think he actually sung a bit differently this time around. He did sound different than the original one.
Because he was definitely higher in February. So it might just be the song. We'll find
he
out.
Got lower.
We'll find out in like That's two
funny.
Days.
It's exciting.
Yes, I think the song was definitely different than the one that they had before. It didn't sound anything like Power Quest, but this one definitely does, I think.
So we'll get back to this next month. After it comes out.
Will Power Quest singer be high or not high? We'll find out next time. So next single that we're going to talk about is Keldeon. Keldeon? Keldeon? Keldeon?
Keldeon?
Can you pronounce that?
I think it's Keldeon.
Keldeon?
Yeah. The single's name is called Blood Red Dawn, and it's going to be from the album Darkness and Light, which will be out on October 27th. There you go.
And it's about snakes.
The single is about snakes.
It's so weird.
No snakes.
Keldeon.
Snakes.
Is like the sci-fi power metal band, and it's been years since their last album, and they're singing about like government corruption and snakes of the earth, and it's weird.
And the earth is not space.
The earth is not space.
maybe the snakes of the earth are from space.
No, they're
Who
from
knows?
The earth.
Anyway,
they're absolutely from the earth.
What did you guys think?
The snakes of the earth are the corporations, man.
What did you guys think about the snake song? Blood Red Dawn.
I unfortunately did not listen to it.
I did not like it at all. It was really... They tried to do the, like, spacey sounding vocals, but I think structurally, like, it was really simple, and the chorus was not interesting at all.
I think it was 2 minutes too long. I think it would have been fine if it was 3.5 minutes instead of 5:45.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it was 5:45. I don't think I finished
the song. It was too long, in my opinion. Maybe it works better in the middle of the album. Who knows? But I think it was too long as a single.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't my favorite Chaldean song. They have some really good ones, but they all their albums have a couple stinkers on it anyway, so I'm not particularly worried.
Yeah.
But I thought the chorus and the solos, I thought, were passable.
It was pretty uninspiring. Chaldean wrote some, like, really interesting stuff in their previous albums.
They have, yeah.
Yeah. Much like the art for the album.
The art is pretty bad. It's just, like, stock photos.
Literally all of their artworks are bad.
I mean, that's fine. I'm not, like, listening to the album for the art. Still, it's just kind of funny.
I'm listening to the album art.
I like to listen to the
album.
I
listen to the art. I
put it onto my ear. And
like, I load the picture up into, like, Photoshop, and then I do some magic to turn it into a waveform, and then I go from there.
Incredible. Yeah, Larry's clearly extremely talented.
I am super sophisticated in my tastes.
Yeah. And because you are so sophisticated, I want to hear your opinion on Elven King.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Drogon's Maelstrom from Seekers of the Magic Grimoire, where magic is spelled with a K. And I will refrain from talking about this because I do not like Elven King.
So A-C-K, not just a K.
Yeah. So
please.
First of all, Elven King, they usually sing about, like, elves and shit.
Fuck.
As their name.
Really?
But this time.
No. Impossible.
They sung about pirates.
Yeah, it was about a bunch of pirates who were, like, on the sea and they're afraid of things.
Really? Also, like, a Draugr, like those zombie dudes from Skyrim, but in the ocean for whatever reason. So ghost pirates, maybe? Zombie pirates? I don't know. I don't really pay attention to lyrics. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I really liked it, too.
Elven King is one of those bands that you either seem to love them or hate them. And I'm more on the love them side, as long as they're doing, like, their fun folky stuff and not their weird edgy like metalcore,
like,
stuff.
Pagan Manifesto was super fun, and because it was good.
I hate Pagan Manifesto.
This new single is actually a lot darker than Pagan Manifesto, and I kind of hope that is not the tone for the whole album, because I like Elven King best when they're happy. So
maybe the new album will be okay for me then.
We'll see.
I sort of like this change, because it did seem more folk. They did seem more folky on the last albums, but this one seemed a lot more power metal to me.
Oh, but I like my power folk metal, because that doesn't really exist, especially since Iluvatae didn't release a folk metal album. They just released a regular folk album.
I can say I did not like the song.
You did not like the song?
I didn't like it, but I honestly. What really bothers me of Elven King are the vocals.
Yes, I hate the vocals.
Especially
oh my God.
in this last single, I just can't. I can't enjoy it.
I think he's a really good singer.
Darko just can't. He just literally can't even.
I don't know. I'm not saying he's not hitting the notes, but sometimes when all the vocal layers come up, they don't work together. They don't mesh. They are not really something that I can say, oh, this sounds so good. No, it does not.
Go ahead. I have never claimed that Damnogoros is a good singer.
Yeah, the vocals are like, he sounds like some kind of like punk, almost like a punk skater type guy.
I do like
it's a really weird fit. Like, it's like I'm fine with him, but I can totally get why people would not like his vocals, because they rub me as weird. I just deal with it.
I'm probably in the out crowd that I like Sirius Black singer too. Even people say he's all nasally, I still like him.
Yeah, basically, I like their last album in the Winter Wake a whole heck of a lot, and I'm hoping this is more on that side. Which the single was not quite there, but we'll see. And I know they post on Facebook they're filming a music video for another single. And we'll get that before their album comes out in, I think it's November 5th. 10th, my bad.
Maybe, let's see if they'll change my mind. Probably not.
They're not going to, no.
Not unless they change their vocalist. It's, like, it's a hell to the no.
Like I said, love them or hate them.
Yep. All right. I'm glad we're balanced here. We're like 2-2 right now.
There's 5 of us.
I can't count. All right. So the next single we're going to talk about is Ancient Empire. Ancient Empire is the band. The song is called Darker Side of Midnight. And the album is called The Tower. Did anyone listen to that one?
Never heard of it.
I listened to this.
Oh my God.
I listened to this and I can say that it's, I can recommend it a lot.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I like this. I like this a lot.
Me too. I'm so excited. Like Ancient Empire was their album called Otherworld was one of my favorites in 2016. And when I first turned on this new single, Darker Side of Midnight, I was like actually smiling happily for once because I know, shut up. It's really adorable because I love the galloping like bass lines. And then the vocalist was like pretty melodic, but just had just right the right amount of aggression. And of course, it's power metal. So it has like awesome vocal melodies accompanied by like guitar counter melodies. Yeah, I love this. I am so excited for this album. This is probably the only album I'm excited about for the rest
their album, of... Their album last year, that was the one with the spaceships on it, right?
It is one of our various space albums of 2016.
Is that the one that Mush links a lot?
Yeah, I think so.
It was, like, pinned for a little bit?
Was it pinned?
I think so.
I don't know. I don't remember. It has, like... It's, like, a giant...
Space... Yeah.
Gray
I remember
ship thingy flying like through
Iron,
space.
Like
That's
Iron
so
Savior.
Generic.
I remember.
Yes.
The new album has really nice art that blends sci-fi and fantasy. I think it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
As someone who listens to album art, it's very important to Larry.
It's like a bunch of cultists walking towards a spooky back black tower, and they have like
it looks so fucking
like
cool.
Weird sci-fi staves.
Yeah.
I need to check this out. This sounds really good.
This is probably the most excited you guys are ever going to hear me. Okay, back to like monotony and hatred of Elven King.
Did you listen to both of the singles or just one of them?
I only listened to one of them.
Okay.
I didn't know there were two.
There's two. There two are. I listened to both of them. Dawn of Forever.
Yeah.
I think it was the longer song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are both good. They're both really good.
Oh my
good.
God. I'll check out the second single tomorrow. I can't contain myself.
While we're on the topic of Ancient Empire, I just want to say that Stormspell Records has been putting out great stuff all year. This has been a very good year for them. I don't think I've listened to anything by them that I didn't like, except for Blaze and Stone, which was kind of eh.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought they're forgettable, but I like them. They weren't too bad.
So great label, Stormspell Records.
Yeah,
we're not sponsored by them, but if they want to sponsor us, just hit us up. We will take your money.
Yes. All right. Do we have any more singles to talk about?
Yeah, I want to toss in one more at the end.
One more.
Yeah, this is just a little one. The symphonic power metal band Crystal Gates released a single last week called Shadowborn. And this is a really small new band. They're from Uruguay, I believe. They just put out an EP back in 2015. And this is their first single for, hopefully for an upcoming album, but I don't think they've actually announced anything. This single called Shadowborn, I thought it was just excellent. Tons of power, vocals that don't suck, that are really great. The orchestra stuff is good, the guitars are great. Really, just everything about this song was just doing it for me, and I really loved it. I was listening to it on repeat basically this whole last week. I believe it was posted on the Power Metal subreddit by a very handsome man. So if you want to check it out, that'd be a good way to do so. Yeah,
awesome.
I just want to throw a quick recommendation in for Crystal Gates right there. They're going to be one to keep an eye on as they put out their second album.
No relation to Four Gates, but I'll check them out.
No. Yeah, I thought the single was a big improvement over everything on their EP, so I'm definitely going to be interested in see where they go from here.
Cool, that's exciting. Well, sounds like there's a lot of good stuff coming out. Yeah, that's all. So that's all we have in terms of new releases. So... do you guys have any more comments?
No, I think we hit everything in terms of news, discussion, albums, and singles, what we're looking forward to in the near future.
Okay. All right, cool. So just to wrap this up, thank you all for listening, if anyone actually made it this far. And once again, we are Powerful, a power metal podcast. Find us on Facebook, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Leave us comments. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree with us? Do you love Elven King? Do you hate them? Are you excited for Ancient Empire? Let us know.
Also, yes, please, also, please rate, comment, and subscribe.
Also, don't forget to like, subscribe. Hit that big old thumb up button everywhere.
Smash that like button.
Boom. Smash that like button. Smash it. Comment, rate, rate, comment, and subscribe. Even if tell your friends.
Even if you tell us you hate us, that's another comment.
Tell us we're gross and awful and wrong.
We want to read
just
you.
Just talk to us.
We want to know you exist. Interact with us, please.
We love our 12 fans. You guys are the best.
If you comment on us, we will definitely mention you on the next one.
Oh my god. You'll be literally e-famous.
We will either rip you a new one or agree with you, or maybe both.
Probably both.
Find out. Comment.
We don't forget.
See you next time. Bye.
Dee 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 da dee dee da dee dee da dee dee da dee dee.